Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
I love when people walk by the studio and point at their AirPods.
Oh, yeah.
Guy just walked by. I'm listening.
Yep. Everyone's listening to Cap and J-Hood, and rightfully so. And if you know someone that just needs something different in their morning, tell them to listen to Cap and J-Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Yes. And by the way, last night I was at the South Bend Cubs game against the Lake County Guardians. I think they're called the Guardians, but they're the Cleveland Guardians farm team.
Mm-hmm.
What an experience that was. We'll talk about it a little later, but what an experience that was. Holy, and you can't imagine how many people, as I walked around with my friend Matt Buckman, who was there shooting it for me mm-hmm. for TV, how many people go, Cap J Hood! Cap J, hello, look, shot, no shot, take that! Yeah, dude.
That's cool.
Phenomenal. So we'll talk about it. It was great. Good morning to our friend Snorling. How are you?
Good morning, boys. How are we? Hoodie.
What's
good
up,
to
brother?
See you again. I missed you, pal. Your head looks fantastic, by the way. It looks like you got a haircut.
Oh, but yes, because all you see is my head. You don't see my face, right?
Right.
Jean
was busy.
I had to turn around. That's it. Now, I'm feeling good, man. Brand new barber.
No, Jean. Did you tell him?
I need to talk to Jean. I went to a new place, Hats Off Barbershop. And they had two big screens going. A documentary is being filmed.
Oh, you fired your barber.
Well, I mean, hey, man, it was time, right? The guy was like, hey, man, you know, how do you want to keep this beard? He goes, no, I think you're going to keep this beard. Like, he's telling me what to look good on me. Unlike John, who doesn't speak much English, because it's broken French and Creole or whatever that is. Some Haitian, too. Mixed in there. So,
wow.
So, but at least I had a conversation with the guys. Like, no, let me take care of your hair. He told me exactly how he thought I should look. And so, you know, great conversation. Guy's name is Jay.
Jay.
Yeah, nice guy. I'll always remember
Jean
his name.
To Jay.
Yes. So but you know what, Cap? Nothing like a good barbershop. Nothing like a documentary filmed on two big screens in the barbershop. And a conversation about the documentary. I said, boy, feel like I'm in someplace fresh, someplace new.
Nice.
Felt good, man. I'm out of the
1980s. You look good. All right, Snorling.
He does look great. All right, boys, let's get into shot or no shot. I have some Bears question, pretty football heavy today. Robert Quinn spoke yesterday. We spoke about this a little bit. He said he's tired of being traded and moving around and said despite speculation, he's on board with the Bears. Meanwhile, Roquan Smith was added to the PUP list during his hold-in. Smith's hold-in is reminiscent of a similar strategy T.J. Watt used last offseason in Pittsburgh, the result of which was a four-year, $112 million extension with a $35 million signing bonus and $80 million guaranteed. My question's a little different. With Robert Quinn saying he's on board in Chicago and what's going on with Roquan Smith, shot or no shot, Roquan Smith is now more likely to be traded than Robert Quinn.
Yeah, that's a no shot. He's 25 years old. They're not trading a 25-year-old player who's trending up and is a top-five linebacker, especially trade him now? No. And if they don't do that, he's an unrestricted free agent after the season. You're not trading him. What are people going to give you now?
Yeah, it's a no shot for me, and I'm always going to have that inherent bias over Smith because he's a Georgia Bulldog. I told you at the time, Cap, when he was drafted, I said, that guy's going to be a cornerstone for this franchise for a decade if you allow him to. He's going to be that good. I didn't feel the same way about Leonard Floyd, but I definitely felt that strongly about Roquan Smith. He's that kind of player. He's a guy that's just going to give you the production that you want. He's going to stay healthy, and even with this rebuild with the Bears, it's good that he's going to be around. Lock him in, give him a nice contract, and then move forward. None of this nonsense. That's a player that actually can pay dividends for you. So I say yes.
All right, boys. There's also questions about one of Ryan Pace's last draft picks during his regime. We, of course, traded up to get Tevin Jenkins, mm-hmm. who was supposed to play tackle for the Bears. But the Bears made some moves this week. They brought in Riley Reiff and paid him starter money. The expectation is he's going to start at left tackle. And, of course, in the draft picked up Braxton Jones, who will we expect compete with Larry Borum for the right side of the offensive line. So now that leaves Tevin Jenkins kind of a man without a position, and they also brought in Michael Schofield. So now we're looking at perhaps Schofield and Tevin Jenkins will compete to play right guard. Shot or no shot? Jenkins moving to guard is the best thing for the Bears' offensive line.
I can't answer that yet because I have to see him play. Everything is, you know, all speculation. I will answer that for you. I would think it's a shot, but I think that has to be answered after we watch him get reps against NFL players.
Is this you talking about the swing tackle that no one cares about?
Correct.
Ha, 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 got your ass.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah, I didn't write that.
Nobody cares about the swing tackle. Guess what? What did I tell you? When we get to training camp, who's going to be talking about the swing tackle? You and I.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah, I
told you.
I didn't write
you.
The question.
No, but you're like, nobody cares about the swing tackle. I mean, people just are in their car. Guess what? It's Bears season, pal. We're talking about the swing tackle.
Yeah.
So take that.
That's what we do.
So I'll just say shot for now because we have to see how it all materializes. Because, again, Shay, as you well know, until they get on the field, we don't know who's going to go where. Yes, Riley Reiff is part of this team. Schofield's part of this team. Do they start right away? Do you want to get more veteran leadership in that spot, some more experience in those spots? We'll see. We just know that it's very young, and I think I was really looking forward to seeing what Tevin Jenkins could do. That's what I was looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, and I want to watch him play, so let's see how it is. Let's see how it goes.
And we got to talk to Olin or Jiggets. These guys know offensive line play
Correct. Better
than we do, so we have to go through their eyes, through their prism, on how the offensive line is doing.
Completely agree.
May I beak quickly?
You haven't got an answer to that yet. Hoodie.
Go ahead.
The tension really was building there for a moment. Could have cut it with a knife. No, I'm excited to see that they're playing with the offensive line, finding ways that they think they can improve it, making it. It seems like a priority of the offseason where, look, we know what they've picked a lane, as Cap likes to say. They let a lot of guys walk. They're in a clear rebuilding year, but they're at least prioritizing the offensive line. I think it's super important because it allows them a clearer evaluation of what you have in Justin Fields. If you build an offensive line that can at least keep him upright and you find out what combinations you have and what works, usually I think if you're moving a guy from tackle to guard, you're in a really bad spot, but this is not a competitive team, so I actually think it's okay that you're playing around with the combos and seeing what you got.
That's fair to say, and here's why. It's what you just laid out for us. Everything is an evaluation to find out what works. The most important player on the team is Justin Fields and his health. Because you know he's going to be rolling 100%. Out of the pocket. He's going to be totally different than what we've seen. The 2-8 record and how many times he got sacked, it was an evaluation for 10 games to see what he could do. Now he's got a full complement of games. He's got no red rifle over his shoulder in Andy Dalton. Let's see what happens now. That's his job, full stop. Let's see what happens.
Agreed.
All right, boys. Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren spoke yesterday about the future of the college football playoff. He had a bit of a change tune on this. Previously, last year, he'd been resistant to expansion. He joined the Pac-12 and ACC commissioners in voting no on a 12-team playoff expansion. But now with the addition of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, Warren says he supports a 16-team playoff and is looking at, quote, any number except 4. Shot or no shot? The college football playoff needs to be expanded to 16 teams.
Well, for me, it's a no shot. I mean, I like 4. I just think that when you start expanding it, Cap, and bringing everybody under the tent, now it's the NCAA tournament. But here's the thing. I can't fight City Hall in that. I understand that because of television, it's going to expand to 16. Could be 32. Who knows? I like the 4, personally, but I can't stop it. Because I'll still be watching.
Okay, I like it bigger than 4. 16 might be a bit much, but I could get on board with it. And because of the amount of money at stake, it's inevitable.
Who else is going to the Big Ten? Like, who else are they going to get it from, Shay? What other conferences are they going to try to infiltrate?
Well, I think it's mostly going to be the Pac-12. I think, like, Yurko floats Stanford and Cal because they both kind of fit the academic side of things for the Big Ten. They get you in the San Francisco market. I personally think Oregon and Washington is a little more likely if you're going to poach more from the Pac-12, because at least you bring in
Yurko's right on the TV side of things. You've got to think TV.
The TV deal, he's right, getting into San Francisco. I think the Big Ten will more prioritize Oregon and Washington right now because they're more competitive football programs to bring into the conference.
I disagree. That's why they went and got Rutgers, so they could get the New York TV market. It's TV.
Well, they just want to be on Manhattan television. That's correct.
Okay. The Rutgers, the New York market, the Piscataway, New Jersey market.
But it's on all the New York cable. Yeah, so they get that money.
They don't care about people watching Rutgers. They care about being on Manhattan television.
Do you
on
see
cable
how
services.
Much each school is reportedly going to get now?
What's the number?
$100 million a school.
I get it.
On the new TV deal. $100 million.
You know,
it's, Notre Dame, man, that's the answer.
This is eight.
Well, you got to get Notre Dame to play ball, and the ACC's got a hand in that pot, too. That's where I think when you start to look at Oregon and Washington, because Oregon's going to look at the Pac-12 and go, well, we don't play anyone anymore. This blows. They're going to be looking for a life raft.
Notre Dame is going to dig their heels in to the very, very, very highest bidder. They already have their own network. It's the network that pays your checks, the Notre Dame Broadcasting Company. So they already have their own network.
Yep.
So they're good there. They can pick and choose the teams that they want to play. But here's the thing, Cap. You get into a conference, you can be able to have, you know, the world's your oyster. But you know how Notre Dame is. You know how they do business. We'll pick and choose the teams that we own take. And then when you take on the upper echelon, you get your ass whooped in the biggest spots. Like, we saw Notre Dame win a national championship under Holtz, did we not?
We did. 1988.
We may never see it again.
Correct, because they're going to struggle the schedule because all of a sudden USC, a regular, says, we don't have a game for you. We've got to play all these games now in this massive super conference. We're in the Big Ten now.
I mean, they'll find a way to get them in there at some point, but just like, you know, everything's on Notre Dame's schedule. Everything's on, well, we'll decide. Okay, meanwhile, here comes all the teams in the SEC. Here comes all the teams in the Big Ten, and they matter. Now you get the NFL Junior happening right now with college football. It's what's going to be. It's going to be NFL, importance when it comes to games, regular season games.
Correct.
No more Eastern Michigan against Alabama. You're going to take on the best of the best now.
Every week's going to be a test.
It's going to be great. But where does Notre Dame fit into all that? And will you ever win a national championship now in this new look college football?
Not unless they get in a conference.
Well, and also, but if they expand to 16 teams, Notre Dame might say, hey, we can hang out on our own out here. As long as NBC is going to bring us back, because 16 teams, we'll get in every year. We don't even have to be that good.
You doing color for the games this year, now that Breeze is out? You and Tirico?
Yeah, I'm going to take that job, too. Joab on Twitter says, Hoodie, Cap, seriously, a 16-team playoff works at every level of football, from high school to the NFL. Only 1A FBS football is too fragile to handle it. He's correct.
I said for me, I'm good with 4.
You prefer it.
I prefer 4.
But 16 would work.
But I can't fight the 16 because the money's too great.
That's correct.
And it becomes a television product. So when I'm not saying that they shouldn't, I'm saying what I prefer is the 4. It's easier for me to say Final 4, who's the best of the best? But I know from a television standpoint, that's not how they see it. That's my point.
All right. Would it be a mistake for the Bears not to trade Robert Quinn? Let me say that one more time so you can hear it clearly. Would it be a mistake if they don't trade him? We're going to discuss that with you, 312-332-3776. And don't forget to tune in at noon. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus will be on with Carmen Yerk. We'll be right back.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
JR's in there with his hands like, the music's playing, let's go. JR, you let the music breathe. Danny puts hours and hours into a playlist. You let it breathe. This isn't Will Rock. We let our music breathe. So, cup of coffee, relax. So, would it be a mistake for the Bears to not trade Robert Quinn? If you got a call right now, hey, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Football guys. This is pick the team. This is the L.A. Rams. We lost Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a second-round pick. We want Quinn right now on a plane to L.A. You doing it?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing it unless I have the right offer.
Second-round pick? I just made you an offer.
I said the right offer, I said. I mean,
well, do you think you're getting for a 32-year-old guy?
Well, see, here's the thing. It's not about the other team. It's about what I want. See, that's how a deal is made.
Well, it kind of is about what they're going to give you.
No, it's about what I want also, though.
What do you want?
50-50. Well, first of all, he's not on the trade block for me. Let's start there. Because to me, it's a non-starter at this point in time. You get to the deadline, if we're not going anywhere, and if he does want to leave, that's when you have the conversation. See, here's the thing. Robert Quinn is not going to stop you from getting a top draft pick just based on the roster composition, right? We talk about pillars all the time. Who are the difference makers on this football team on both sides of the football?
Okay.
So that would be, you'd hope that's Justin Fields. We'll see. I can say for sure David Montgomery is one of them. I could say that Roquan Smith is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, it's very few and far in between, right? Look at the secondary. Is Eddie Jackson going to come into his own and not be a 50-50 player? Or will he be what we know him as? Some good plays and then a lot of bad plays.
Okay, so wait, your pillars are, you said David Montgomery?
Well, he's one of them, yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. Because he's going to need to get paid again, and I'm not sure they're going to do that.
So you're saying the Bears have no talent on the roster?
No, I didn't say that. I think Kyler Gordon is a building block.
We'll see.
I think Jaquan Brisker is a building block.
That's it. I'm telling you what I know.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith. Darnell Mooney. Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling
Justin
you,
Fields.
Yeah, I'm just telling you about the players that I've seen that I know that could make a difference. And Montgomery's one of those guys. Doesn't matter if you don't look at the running back position as we used to. That's okay. I'm just talking about a guy that's a productive player. And Montgomery's one of those guys.
That I don't disagree with. He is a productive player. However, he's got to get paid here.
Oh, I know that.
Are you paying him?
No, more than likely they'll turn the page on him. Yeah, more than likely they will. That look, some will look at the running back position as a dime a dozen. I say that if you could find a versatile running back, not necessarily always between the tackles, but also if they can, that has the hands to catch the football as well, be a difference, like a guy that could be able to play in space. I like that. I like a player like that. But I know that more than likely they'll turn the page. I'm glad they have Montgomery and Herbert as a 1-2 punch. As far as running backs, but but the point you asked me about Robert Quinn, I would not trade Robert Quinn. I would not. Not right now. Guy wants to stay here. And you know that if he's healthy, he's going to be a productive player. Because if he's not here, who's going to make plays? Who's going to get to the quarterback?
They don't have any. Travis Gibson.
Yeah, and then?
Nothing else there.
Okay, you got to have something back there, Cap.
That's why I keep looking at the roster, and I just don't understand the wild-eyed optimism some people have that think this team can win 9-10 games. I don't see it.
Who are you talking about there?
All our callers yesterday.
Oh,
you
yesterday?
Asked JR. JR, how many callers do we have calling, "You're just a hater"? What was the guy's name? Chase on the south side. "You're just a hater. This is a 9-10 win team."
No.
I don't see it.
You got to have talent for that.
Right.
Got to have talent for that. And talent that has to mature, too, Cap. You know, it's like you may be the biggest Justin Fields fan based on what you saw last year. He still needs to have talent, right? So, in other words, if they're going to win 9 or 10 games, if Darnell Mooney is an all-pro, is that it? I mean, going away all-pro, not like backdooring it. I mean, a guy that has earned all-pro status.
I love Darnell Mooney.
Is that the player that he is? He's not.
I don't know if he's an all-pro, but I think Darnell Mooney is a outstanding receiver.
Okay, so here, let's just pretend that this is a 9 or 10 win ball club. That means that all of a sudden now that Justin Fields has been able to connect to St. Brown and Pringle and Mooney And Velus Jones is all of a sudden, he's all pro too. He's much better than we thought. He's an older player, but my God, he's out there. He looks like Julio Jones in his prime. My God, that offensive line, they're like an iron gate, Cap. They make sure that Justin Fields is protected. And that defense, ferocious defense. How many sacks? You know what Quinn's doing? My God, this Angelo Blackson came out of nowhere. The secondary, airtight, man. I'm just telling you, this Eddie Jackson on one side, Johnson the other, man, I mean, nothing's getting through there. You know, a few touchdowns that they've allowed? Man, it's hard. If you're the offense and you get to the 20 on the Bears defense, my God, man. I mean, that is a rare situation. And so and Eberflus has got the imagination of the team. They're playing in his own image. This has turned around really quickly.
You've had Cromwell in your coffee this morning?
I have not. But I painted a picture for you of that's what would have to happen for this team to win 10 games.
And there's no shot that's happening.
See?
Zero. Zero. Let's go to...
I laid out for you all the things that have to happen for this team to win 9 or 10 ball games.
You're correct.
Offensive line is all of a sudden put together and solid. Justin Fields looks great out there. He's got two or three different weapons to go to. Cole Kmet has finally come into his own. My God, man. And that defense, man, they get into the quarterback.
Boy, everything ferocious. Has to click.
Ferocious, man.
James in, by the way, hey, Shay.
Gurney.
It's Gurney. Not Gurney like you wheel a freaking patient out. I love when he spells Gurney. G-U-R-N-E-Y.
You know what it said, Cap, why do you got to do that? You know it says James and Gurney. Whether I spell it wrong or not, I got a lot of things going on back here. What do we need to correct that for? Nobody on the radio sees how I spell it. Nobody listening to us can see how I spell it. We got new cameras. You can't even see the call screener anymore. What do we got to do that for?
Oh, that's right. They can't
just
see
James
the call.
James and Gurney, welcome to the show. What do we got to take the pot shot at me for?
Right. I'm trying to teach you that there's a city called Gurney.
But you know how to say it. All right, just because it's misspelled, we got to pile on the kid from Detroit, right?
Exactly. We're showing Twitch
the
right now.
The out-of-towner, we got to pile on.
Gurney. James and Gurney, how are you?
Good morning. Cappy, Shay's all right, man. Leave him alone a little bit. Come on, Cappy.
He's a child.
Hey,
what's going on?
Real that is kind of funny. So I think you're exactly right, guys. You talked about this. The stable to Roquan. Now let's just talk about, you know, Borum's got a big upside. And I was just talking to Shay, like, I know, I think 5-6 wins. I mean, Hoodie, you're right. Everything's going to just, like, click beyond to go to 9 or 10. I don't think it's possible. It's just, I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, Borum and even Jenkins and maybe some Braxton or one of these other kids, got a couple kids. So
James?
Peter Jones and Brisker and Gordon. So, I mean, there's nothing on this team, obviously, with Jones, but... I guess it's just optimism, right? I mean, they tore it down, so I'm giving these guys an opportunity. But it's hard because we're tattered, man. I'm a little tattered because every time we get a new regime, man, even with Nagy, we get so excited. But they're tearing it down to the studs, man, and trying to rebuild it. So we will see. But, you know, Borum, I think, has got a huge upside. Jenkins, we're not worried about. They're really high on Braxton. So I just think up front is going to be – up front and Fields is kind of the focus of this year to moving forward. So, I mean, I'm trying to – it's hard to be too optimistic because we're tattered, man. Years of dysfunction and losing and just all of it. But
James,
like you said, Hoodie, who knows?
James, are you making a left turn or a right turn right now?
I was making a left turn. I'm pretty good at that. It's the first time you caught me doing anything like that. Hoodie, you know that?
Thank you very much.
First time you caught me.
That's pretty good.
You're quicker than you look, Hood.
Uh-huh. He is. All right, we'll see you, James.
You
thanks, man. We love you. You're the man.
You can hear the old turn signal.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click. You can hear it.
Should have tried to guess the car he's driving in based on the sound of the turn signal.
78 Chevy Caprice Classic. That's usually where you get the loud signal back to the. I mean, that's. You know, my dad only bought Caprice Classics. You know that? Only bought Chevys. We were a Chevy family. And only Caprice
Classics.
We
still are my family now. My dad was for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's where I got the love of Chevy. And so now we have Alex has a Chevy. Garrett has a Chevy. Brett drives a Chevy. Yeah. Absolutely.
He loved the cop cars. He loved the Caprice Classics enough to you can get two or three bodies in the trunk.
Those trunks were massive. Massive.
By the way, so when did cars stop having lighters in them? the 2000? Your car have a lighter in it?
You know, I don't know.
Don't think so.
I don't smoke, so I don't know. That's a great question. My car's new. Danny's got a new one. Does your car have a lighter in it?
Like mid-90s, I think that mid-90s? Was.
Mid-90s? No.
Yeah, it had to have been. The only time I've ever seen, my buddy in high school drove a 1989 Dodge Dynasty. That's the only time I've seen a cigarette lighter in the car.
There's no way.
You ever light a cigarette with that thing? You could taste the electricity coming off.
Yes,
that.
This is so true. That's what my dad always said, had the Caprice Classics. You know, you push the little thing in, Cap. You push it in.
Right.
And then when it's ready, when it's lit, it comes out. And then you take it out and you light your cigarette.
And the little coil is
orange. It's orange.
And the old ones had them in the backseat, too, so you can threaten your siblings.
Does your car have a lighter in it?
Tape deck. No, it does not have a lighter in it. No,
and it wouldn't surprise me. You got like
8-track tape deck. Yes.
Yes.
No, it does not have a lighter in it.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it was all the way back in the '90s. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I just can't remember the last time that I had a lighter in the old car.
It's a great question.
But back in the day, man, you push that thing in, it'll pop out. It'll let you know when it's lit
and it's hot, ready to go.
That's technology back then, pal.
Deal breakers, one of our favorite things to talk about, and more of your Bears calls next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
I'm Doug Llewellyn. This is the case of... No Doug Llewellyn.
He's still alive.
No Judge Wapner.
He's dead.
Oh, is he?
Wapner's, I'm positive he's dead.
Okay. I know that you're, again, the king of obituaries.
I kill people off. Judge Joseph Albert Wapner.
Llewellyn's still alive. 83.
Yeah, Wapner died February 26, 2017 in L.A. He is buried, interred at Mount Sinai Memorial Parks and Mortuaries in Los Angeles, California.
Ah, that's fascinating, Cap. Now let's go to deal breakers here. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Good morning, fellas. Let's get into this.
Yeah, good. Hold on a second. I have a line before you just barrel in.
Go ahead, buddy.
Let's get away.
Do your thing.
Let's get away from the grim capper and send it over now to Shay Norling with deal breakers.
Wow.
Done.
Brought to you by
whom?
Oh, sorry. Waiting on that one. All right, fellas. I want to start with something a buddy of mine texted me last night about people coming and staying with you for Lollapalooza. I think a lot of people are going through this right now. So you have a friend who's coming to town for Lollapalooza, and they ask if they can stay at your place to save some money on lodging. You're a hospitable person, so you offer up your couch for the weekend or your spare bedroom, whatever you got. Yeah, sure, they can stay. When your friend arrives, they also brought their small dog with them without telling you. And they tell you they expect you to watch their dog while they are at the festival. How do you react to this?
Hold on. They showed up to stay at my house, and I'm not going to the festival with them. They're just using the home as a hotel.
Correct. They're going to go to the concert, come back, sleep, go to the concert, come back, sleep. That's it.
And by the way, here's my dog, and I need you to watch that dog. Go F yourself.
But how much, though? How much you get paid for it?
No, they're not paying you. You're doing a favor, and they brought you the dog, and they said, can you watch the dog for me?
Sure. That's no problem. Yeah, I have no problem with it. They're friends, right?
Correct.
We're friends? Yeah, that's not a problem.
You don't even care that it was unannounced?
No. That's fine.
Yeah,
I would have no problem with it.
I have three dogs. Now, I don't have a problem if one of my kids brings their dog. Hey, could you watch Pika, that's Nick's dog.
Mm-hmm.
She's there all the time. That's great. If you just show up, I got three big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good luck. What if my dog doesn't like your dog?
Right.
And not gonna end well for your little dog. And you want me to?
My issue's
up?
More with the responsibility. Why is it my responsibility to watch your dog?
Well,
I personally wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, because I'm watching your dog. I'm putting that dog in the yard. It won't be in my home. It'll be in the yard.
No.
And I'll watch. I have no problem, especially if we're friends, because at some point I'll be able to get something for this in return.
Yeah, I would say to you, wait a minute. You did not ask. You showed up with your dog. I would be very direct. That's inappropriate.
But you do it, though, because you are a good-hearted person.
I probably would, because I would let them know I was ticked off that they decided to just... If you called and said, Cap, can I stay at your place? I'm going to Lollapalooza. Hotels are stupid expensive. No problem.
Yes.
By the way, I've got my little dog. I can't get anyone to watch it. Do you care if I bring it? I would have said, we'll figure something out, bring the dog. But to show up,
that's
taking advantage of the situation.
I'd find a way to get some out of it, Shay, because I'm a schemer like that. I'm a schemer.
That's what I said. To answer my own deal breaker, I texted my buddy back. I said, all right, here's what you do. You laugh, and then you tell him, you can pay me $100 for the weekend or go find a pet-friendly hotel. Good luck.
You're not getting your dog back until you give me $100.
I said, I've got a sailfish your wife might be interested in.
And I tell him, don't worry, I got my own sailfish right here. Shay.
Wow.
All right, boys. You're on a third date with a new person. They want to take you to a bar to see a live band that they really like. However, during the date, they tell you they want to take the opportunity to, quote, network with the band members. And they essentially abandon you for the rest of the night. You grab a seat at the bar. They're over talking with the band. They want nothing to do with you. You order a drink, and another person at the bar comes up and starts hitting on you. Do you reciprocate and initiate a date effectively with this new person? Or do you tell them you're sorry, but you're actually on a date right now?
What do you think?
How much do I like the other person?
It's a third date. It's fairly new.
Oh, I'm all over the new one. 100%. And if she comes over and goes, hey, what are you doing? Well, you don't obviously have any interest in being with me. She does.
Right. I would, first of all, we're supposed to be there together, and then you just kind of just go off and do your own thing. Well, I have a right to do my own thing.
Now, if she said to me, hey, do you want to go to see this band?
Yeah.
Part of my job is I have to network with this band. Will you be okay on your own at the bar while I do my work stuff? That's different. But if she says, hey, let's go to see this band. Oh, I want to go talk to the band. And if she splits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a right to do my own thing.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. Shay, in that scenario, it's like, okay, we're supposed to be there together, and then you go off and do your own thing. Well, I mean, clearly you're ignoring me. You're having a good time, so I want to have a good time, too. I don't want to just be up there like a lame just sitting at the bar by myself, right?
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely take up the new person.
Yeah, I certainly would.
You want to go network with the band? Have fun. I'm going to go network with this new person
here. Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some networking of my own. Don't worry about it.
I'll do some networking.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Hood. What's your name? You know, have a little conversation, some speaks.
That's it.
And then go from there.
If I told you you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
That's your line?
No.
That work on Sheryl Crow?
Yeah, no.
It's a great line, though. It's funny.
It's funny. Let me see what hokey lines I can come up with.
Yes. What can I do? What can I say to make you smile?
It's a beautiful offer. You think I can talk you out of it? Yeah. You can go to these websites and pull up hokey lines.
This is so unbelievable.
Shay.
Slap.
All right, boys. This one I saw on Facebook this morning, and I actually could not believe it. You go on two dates with a woman, and then you send her a text saying that you don't feel compatible. It's not really worth continuing this relationship. You don't see this working out long term. So you kind of just don't want to waste anyone's time. You want to hold off. And you cite some reasons that you kind of don't feel this compatibility, some opinions that she has that you don't agree with.
Yeah.
And you tell her about them. Well, she texts you back. She's not super happy. You have a little conversation. She feels that you are mansplaining to her, is what she says.
Oh.
2 weeks later, a friend of yours reaches out. They listen to a podcast, and the texts that you sent this woman, a well-known podcast, were read on the podcast.
Oh, like a Dear Abby letter.
And they spent 15 minutes making fun of the way you treated this woman. Would you reach out to her and say anything, or would you just let it go?
I would just ignore. when you reach out, you are saying it affected you, which is exactly what the purpose was to have the conversation.
But you know, that's like the new age Dear Abby letter, right? Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that the problems that she had, she's putting out on a podcast for a host to react to, right? Because she's got issues?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, see.
And she told them, like, she sent the screenshots of the texts into these hosts. It's a very well-known podcast. Huge. They actually just did a live show here in Chicago. The Real Podcast did. And it was sold out in one of the theaters. Massive podcast. And this woman sent in the text messages of their breakup. And then they're talking about the breakup and making fun of this guy.
Is it Drew Pinsky?
No.
Was it Dr. Drew?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Yeah, I would not reach out. What are you trying to accomplish? So you can yell and scream and then you go, yeah, whatever.
You know what? If we're younger, then that probably would affect us more so. See, we're talking about this through grizzled eyes. Grizzled veterans like you and I would just be like, just, all right, whatever, right? But the younger us is just like, you put our business out in the street like that? What kind of bleep are you?
But what are you trying to accomplish? Because all they're doing at the other end is laughing at you. You're not going to be with them.
Yes.
So all you're letting them know is they won. No.
You want to know how this person reacted? They not only did they listen to the podcast, they then posted on Facebook a link to the episode of the podcast with the description of what went wrong in the relationship and the text messages. The people making fun of him, the guy admits, totally spot on the way they made fun of me. It was hilarious. Now I listen to the podcast every week and I went to the show.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You couldn't have beat that out of me, man. If that were me, you couldn't have beat that out of me.
See, you're talking about 60-plus-year-old David Kaplan, how you handle it. If you were 25-year-old David Kaplan, you wouldn't like that.
How many of these voicemail-type messages or texts would you have in your past had this technology existed back then?
I don't think any. I don't.
Cap would have been all over Tinder, man.
Probably.
Cap would have been swiping right all over town. Are you kidding me? On the road during college basketball season?
Whoa. I'll be at the racks in Effingham.
All of them would be hot. Whoa.
She's hot.
Hot. It looks like my aunt. Hot. Mindy, hot.
I've never been on. I was married. When did Tinder start?
We haven't been on. We were not on apps.
No.
We got married.
I think it got popular like 2013, maybe. Yeah, 2012, 2013. Married.
Never been on.
And I would not find a relationship through that.
Me either.
We have the gift of gab. And to meet people in a lot of different places, that's how I do it. I would just be single. If that was the only way to meet someone, I'm good. Meeting someone through an app, no shot.
Yeah, me either. No.
It's got to be the physical interaction.
Correct.
Of being able to find out.
Look you in the eye.
Right. And make sure that she looks you in the eye and not a fly at the same time.
Correct. All right, we've got to move on.
Wait a minute. Is that all you got? You got another one? Is that it?
No, we're done. Mitchell Trubisky Steelers camp is off to a start.
What about the sex and the avocados?
Plus, we're talking Bears. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Mitchell Trubisky Steelers camp got off to a bit of a rocky start.
And water's wet.
He got the first two plays, and they were both incompletions. And somebody in the crowd yelled, "Get Kenny Pickett in there!"
Well, you know, you knew that's going to happen, Cap. You knew that's going to happen.
Yep.
And once again, this is Mitchell Trubisky, who struggled to read defenses in the NFL with the Bears, and also, I would say, probably mismanaged at times, many times, under Nagy. He was able to learn under Daboll and the Bills for a year to just kind of watch how it really works. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Mitch, for a year, looked at Josh Allen and goes, I could do that. I could roll out of pocket. I could throw the ball down the field. I could do this. But it's the clock in your head. What do these experts tell you? What do the quarterbacks that used to play the game tell you? The clock in your head. Yes, you have to be concerned about the offensive line, but also, how quickly can you get the ball out? Can you roll out of the pocket? He wished he could do that, but he was chained in the pocket like a prisoner with the Bears. Nagy didn't allow him to do it.
He did not.
All right, so now with Pittsburgh, you know the pressure's on. What did I tell you when he signed? I go, Tomlin's not going to deal with this nonsense.
The standard is the standard.
You're not here to learn. You're here to execute. Let's go. Okay. Blue lady. Do it with force. Blue lady. Get out. Stop.
Pickett, get in.
He's not dealing with this nonsense,
correct,
man.
Correct.
Cap. He better get it right. Now, I'm rooting for him to succeed, not for the reasons you are. You want to give everybody a take that. Steelers go to the playoffs with Mitch. Just to say take that. I just want the young man to succeed. That's all. Because I think it'll be a great story.
Correct.
And also Tomlin's playoff streaks on the line. He's not going to deal with this nonsense. His streak of 500 or better.
15 straight years.
Yeah.
14.
Yes. Yeah. He wants to at least be over 500. You knew there was going to be kind of some growing pains anyway, post-Roethlisberger. Who's going to take over that big seat, right? Should be Mitch. He learned for a year.
We're going to find out. Tom Brady just got picked off, I saw on Twitter. Missed on Mike Evans. Picked off!
It sounds so easy from our chair to say, how the Steelers get their offense done? Well, they run the football with Najee Harris. And Benny Snell, right? Oh, how do they get it? Well, they utilize the tight end a lot. It's just very colored by the numbers, right? Just tough players, smart players. Freiermuth is at the tight end position. You know, utilize your wide receivers when you have to. You don't have to make these big rainbow plays. Just matriculate the ball down the field.
Correct.
Take time off the clock. It's just very elementary over the years.
Correct.
But can Mitch do that, though? It was easy for Ben.
I don't know.
Not at the end, of course, but I mean, for a lot of Ben's career, it was just comfortable. Like, there's a smile on his face now, you know, Mike Tomlin.
Yep.
Standards are standard. We're all right. Wait until he gets in practice.
Let's go to the phones. Chase from the South Side's listening. Hey, Chase, what's up, man?
Cap, David Cap, what is up, man?
What's up?
Benny, what is up, man? What up, brother?
You talking to me?
Are you talking to Hoodie or me?
Yes. Talking to Hoodie.
Oh, what's up, man? Hoodie? What's going on?
Hey, I got a deal breaker for you. I got an actual opinion about this, Hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's this girl that I went out with a couple weeks ago, right? Went to the movie.
Yeah. What show did you go to? 87th or?
No, I went to the one Orland Park.
Okay, got it.
Glencoe.
Okay.
Not Glencoe. Yeah. Get out. This is a Southside conversation. Get out of the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to ask your opinion on this, Hoodie. I need your opinion on it. I got to ask you if it's a deal breaker or not. So we went to the movies, and I saw we was in the car. After the movie's over, we was in the car.
Yeah.
And I touched her face. You know, we were making out whatever. Now, the next day, she texted me. I texted good morning. She texted me good morning back. I asked her, how are you? She said, not too well. I said, what's wrong? She said, my face is breaking out. I said, okay. Sorry to hear that, you know. And then she starts saying, it's right where you touched me. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, you're blaming me for this? And I sort of, yeah. So she sort of make it seem like it's my fault. And then she said, her face is breaking out. Now me being nice like I am, I took accountability for saying, yeah, I touched, because, you know, I touched the doors and all that and showing stuff and maybe whatever. Now, I just need your opinion on this, because she hasn't seen me no pictures or nothing, you know, and I even insisted on paying the doctor bill, you know, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your opinion, do you think she's making this up, or do you think that she's really telling the truth? Because she never even seen me no pictures at all.
You got to get to the point. We got a show to finish up here.
No, 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 no. I'm just saying. I just need Hillary's opinion. Do you think she's making that up? And I'll let him finish. I just need his opinion on that. That's what you need to ask. Is she lying about her face breaking out? Me the reason why her face is breaking out because I touched her face?
You know what? I will give you the answer to that in 2 minutes here on Cap and J-Hook.
All right. All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Chase.
In 2 minutes.
All right.